Now, the rest of the story. In the 80s, it's called channeling. In the 60s, it was called spiritualism. Oh, Mary got interested in spiritualism in the 60s. Having lost two brothers and a son, she was eager to maintain contact with them, even though the abyss that separated her from them was the grave. Mary sought the guidance of numerous spirit mediums. There was a Mrs. Cranston Laurie who lived in town. There was a fellow named Charles Shockle, and the renowned Nettie Colburn Maynard, whose very voice, it was said, could wake the dead. But the medium upon whom Mary depended most called himself Colchester. Nobody knew his real name, or at least his full name, a fact which served well the gentleman's aura of mystery. He held seances in Mary's home. I said he held seances in Mary's home. And he enthralled her with messages from her dead son, knockings on the furniture, and eerie sounds from the darkened corners of the room. But, well, this is the rest of the story. Mary's husband was quite distraught over his wife's obsession. He realized that Mary was gullible. And now, especially while she was grieving, he also knew that these so-called mediums were fakers and exploiters of human tragedy. But in order to get Mary unhooked, he would have to expose these frauds, show them up for what they were. To that end, Mary's husband sought the assistance of a trusted friend named Noah Brooks. Now, Brooks was to attend one of Colchester's seances. He was to determine how the medium was creating those special effects, and he was to prove what was really going on. And Noah Brooks did just that. He went to one of the seances, and he waited for one of the noises that was supposed to be coming from beyond the beyond, and when he was certain where it was coming from, Brooks jumped up, he fumbled in the darkness, he grabbed the wrist of Colchester himself, who was sitting in the pitch-black room banging on a drum. Well, Colchester was so angry at having been discovered that he took the drum in his free hand and bopped Brooks on the head with it, and it was quite a blow. But everyone, including an embarrassed Mary, agreed that it was worth the effort to expose the truth. There would be no more mediums in her home. Never, ever. Yet her hope of contacting her dead son, Will, never diminished. In fact, that hope blossomed into something that... Well, I'll let you be the judge. Not long thereafter, Mary confided in her sister that dear departed Will came often to comfort her. Mary said, quote, "He comes to me every night and stands at the foot of my bed, with the same sweet, adorable smile he has always had." She's talking now about her dead son, understand? But whether a visitation or imagination or even impending insanity, whatever it was, Mary was satisfied herself that the great curtain could indeed be parted and that her love for her son was more powerful than the grave itself. In any case, you have to feel sorry for her and for her concerned husband, especially since he was plagued at the same time by another distressing something called the Civil War. The victim of charlatans who invited seances into her family's summer home and even into the Crimson Room of the White House itself was Mary Lincoln, Mrs. Abraham Lincoln. And now you know the rest of the story.